34 years at New Life, and then 3 more years over at the Presbyterian Church here in Virginia. So it's been a good adventure, and we are thankful to the Lord. And again, good morning to you all. God is so, so good to us. We are so blessed by His great plan for our lives today. Lord, we are quick to run to You because in ourselves we're nothing. And if all they heard was from me, Lord, it would be not accomplishing Your ends. They need to hear from Your Holy Spirit, and we thank You that He is here. That as Stephanie sang about the blood and the things that You have accomplished in overcoming, that You sent the Comforter and that the Holy Ghost came and He didn't go back, and He's here now. And He's the teacher. And we thank You now that we will be instructed by Him and He will lead us and guide us into all truth today. And we'll refresh in those things to our memory that we need to have brought back to our remembrance that perhaps we've let slip. We thank You, Lord, that You know every need, even before it's asked. And so today we give You the praise and the glory for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to turn, if you would, with me to Luke chapter 11. We're in a lot of preparation time in the going back to school event again. And of course, there's all kinds of needs out there for bus drivers and things of that nature. And I'm well familiar with the transportation department in Amherst County, but I see the same thing out in Bedford and in Lynchburg. And there's a website for bus drivers to go on that's national, where they talk about different complaints and concerns and things that are going on. And it seems like everywhere from California to the Carolinas and Maine down to Florida, everybody needs drivers. There's nobody without exception in that. And I stand amazed. But a part of it deals with the culture and society we're living in today. People trying to make it on their own strength. We have classes that train new drivers, and we'll have 5 or 6 people that'll take the classes, and they go and get their CDLs. About usually out of the 6, there might be 3 that'll go finally and get their CDLs, and out of the 3, you might have 1 that will be there on opening day. So it gets weeded down very quickly, and then soon thereafter, the turnover rate is just astronomical, because the first week out, the responsibility of having our children, the greatest gifts that have been given to us on board a bus that is distracting, and you're trying to drive and drive through traffic and try to learn their names and be aware of what they're doing for their safety, it becomes tantamount to mini chaos 5 days out of your week. And it doesn't change going home in the evening either. But in all of that, there is something that we can learn today that would help us no matter what profession we may be in. In Luke chapter 11, I'd like to get your attention to go with me there. And we're going to read, let's see, find my glasses here. I've got so many notes in this study Bible here. I've given a couple of these away through the years to some of my helpers in the church. I was just going to park them. They said, "What are you doing with that Bible that you used to use?" I said, "It's just sitting over there." "Well, can I have it?" "Yeah, sure, okay." It's got, you know, God drops stuff in your heart, and I have a habit of just writing it down. On this particular date, God gave me this word. On this particular date, God spoke this to my heart. And then you're listening to preaching and all of those things, and you underline, and then the next thing you know, you can't hardly read the verse because of all the things that God's been doing out of that verse. So here we go. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who has or who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed and I cannot rise and give to you. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Thank you for your word, Lord. When I'm reading this, I think of prayers that we're taught. The disciples that in Luke is written a little different. Luke is written from eyewitness accounts, from Mary and from those that were around her life, those women that were ministering to Christ, and from the disciples of Peter and Mark and the different ones who had already gathered some materials and had written. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered synoptic gospels because they try to chronologically list how from his birth until his death and resurrection, what Jesus did. John is not considered a synoptic gospel only because his was evidence of who Jesus really was, being the Son of God. So he writes from that perspective. It's not necessarily in order, but it is necessarily to point one direction, that Jesus is God in the flesh, God the Son. And you can believe in that and have eternal life. That's his message. So now when we look at Luke, we look at a little bit of different gathering because he's like a newspaper man. He's gathering the real news from eyewitness accounts. And so one of those days, he's probably speaking to one of the disciples, and he's already talked about how they were sent out over in Luke 7 and Luke 8 or 9. He sends out the 12 first. And they are told to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And then he sends out 70. And so they've already gone out and they've had some great campaigns in the area of Israel of ministering the gospel of the kingdom. And with the power of Jesus' name, that accomplished a lot. And they came back and they were glorifying God. Well, Luke now comes to this place of where he's writing about one of them says, after watching Jesus pray, we want to know how to pray like that. Would you teach us how to pray? John taught his disciples how to pray. So would you teach us how to pray? Well, the Message Bible renders it sort of like this. This might help clear up a little bit of some of our looking at this particular scripture and how Jesus incorporated about prayer. One day he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, Master, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said, well, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Then he said, imagine what it would happen if you had a friend in the middle of the night and he said, hey friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through has showed up and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, "Don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night, and I can't get up and give you anything. But let me tell you this. Even if he won't get up because of a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking up all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need." Everybody can say amen to that, right? Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him off with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent enough to your own children. And don't you think the Father who has conceived you in his love will give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? It's a good rendering, isn't it? Thank God for Brother Peterson. The prayer is referred to today as the Lord's Prayer. We call it that. It's one of the first ones that we probably learned to pray. Now, I remember going to bed at night and learning a little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. What a thing to teach a child. If I should die before I wake. No wonder we were afraid to die. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, right? And then I was encouraged to bless whoever came to mind, and we would have this long list of people that we wanted to bless that night. And over meals, we had our little prayer. Anybody remember your prayer over your meals? Thank you, John. And we thank him for our food. That's right. By his hand, let's all be... Give us, Lord, our daily bread. There we go. Well, we know that God has given us some prayers as children that we have learned. And as adults, we have learned how to pray by watching folks on television, on hearing them on radio and tapes, and maybe teaching about prayer. But Jesus had this thing of coming before the Father that was entirely different than the Jewish people had ever learned about prayer. So the disciples, when they're watching Jesus, and he often did this, he would go apart from them a little ways, and he would sit down and have this talk with the Father. He did it quite often. And they no doubt had seen it. And on this particular day, we'd like to learn how you do that. What's up with this kind of praying? And Jesus doesn't correct them that they ought to know how to pray because they're Jewish people chosen by him. They've already been out and cast out devils and healed sick people and preached. So it had nothing to do with some of the things in the past that they'd done. He didn't do any, this is five steps to answered prayer. He didn't do any of that. He didn't give them his booklet on prayer. And he didn't give them eight reasons why you don't get your prayers answered. He just simply said, when you pray, begin like this. It was a dialogue. It's a conversation. How you doing, Jim? It's good to see you, Your Honor. You were mayor, and I still remember that title. So when I come to God, I remember he's God. But I also remember that he's my Father. And the term that Jesus uses here is an intimate term with someone that you would recognize as your father. Paul goes a little deeper when he gets into the Greek in this, and he says it's Abba, Father, which means Daddy, God. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I would come home down in Georgia after being up in Detroit for a while, and I'd come into the kitchen, I just walk in the house. I didn't knock. This is my dad's house. I just walked in the door. Hey, Pop! I'm home. And he'd be getting up out of that chair, coming to meet me, ready to get me something to eat, ready to do something. I mean, that was my dad. I was his son. He hadn't seen me for months. Now, with God, Jesus said, this is the way I want you to be. I want you to just be, walk right in. How are you, Father? You're a great God. Hallowed be your name. You know what? What's going on in your world today? It's his. And as Jesus progressed in this simple prayer, he covers every issue of life that we would ever have need of. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The devotion and adoration to our Father. How many devotions do you have at home? You know, guideposts, my utmost for his highest. How many of you have devotionals at home? Yeah? Do you read them every day? Most often. Huh? Something to interest you in the scripture that perhaps you wouldn't have pulled out on your own? Devotionals are good, right? But do you understand what the word means? To be devoted, it means to let them have your loyalty, let them have your adoration, that you're showing them the worth that they are. I, for a long time, had guideposts sent to my office at New Life. And so I ended up with like 20 years of guideposts on my shelves. And they have a place in guideposts that you can have for your a prayer journal in the back, where you can write down daily the things that God would speak to you. And I would look back over them, you know, go back 10 years ago on that particular day and see what happened. Go back 20 years ago and see what happened. So I got them all in my basement now. And I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, those devotions, they mean something to me, but I don't know that they'll mean anything to Angie, Michelle, Jennifer, or Scott, my four children. She said, yeah, but they might. I said, they meant something to me. You see, the Lord's Prayer was for you personally. But then he did something that's just mind-blowing in my mind. He says, when you pray, you say, our Father. So we have this singular plural deal. He's my Father, but now I'm also including you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, singular. Give us, hear us, forgive us. Oh, wow. Isn't that neat how God takes that which is devoted to him in our prayer life and he allows us to just include everybody in the whole wide world just to come right on into that and to be blessed by that very, very, very thing. So when we look at the prayer time, do we find ourselves praying only for our problems? My problems, my four and no more? Or do we find ourselves being sensitive to the Lord like this morning when you hear the headlines of people that were killed in these two cities? It seemed like to me as I was listening to the news, the more I listened to it, it was like gnats that come and get in your eyes and try to get in your ears. You ever been trying to work out in the yard and you have these little critters? There's like... Having done a little reading on some of this, there's several different kinds of gnats. Some bite, some try to get into your mucus glands, and others, they're just there to buzz around your sweat, you know, and irritate you. And that's what they do. They irritate you. And that's what news is like today. It's like a bunch of gnats getting around trying to distract you from what God has for you to do. And in this prayer, God is very deliberately showing, like we were at this table a minute ago, that he wants to be a part of our life constantly. That we don't have just an hour's prayer in the morning and we have had our devotions and then throughout the day we no longer are thinking about him. I found that God incorporates prayer constantly in our life, doesn't he? You're going down the road and all of a sudden something happens and you find yourself blessing somebody. An ambulance goes by, officer with the lights on goes by. You find yourself drawn into prayer. Prayer makes people different. You know, I once told one of my associate pastors, I told him that my sister-in-law had changed. He started laughing. I said, what's so funny? He said, I said, we've been praying for her for about 6 months now, right? And he says, yeah, but she might not have been the one that changed. Could be you changed. So prayer does change us. There's a lot of studies out about prayer. They found that prayer makes people healthier and happier. And when I read this, I wondered. Duke University was where one of these things were trying to be discovered. And I wonder, okay, what did they do? Go into a hospital and they selected 50 rooms. And these 25 we're going to pray for, and these 25 we're not going to pray for. So is these 25 over here much more happier because we've prayed for them? And these 25 over here, they're really decrepit, and some of them are dying, and these over here did not die, and these over here are sicker. Is that what happened? I don't think that's the way it went, do you? Wouldn't be a very good way to try to make a test, do you think? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus was into surveys, do you? He said, I am, and that was the end, right? It doesn't matter what else you think, except to you. If you know that he is, then it matters for you. So when we look at prayer making us happier and healthier and making us to be a better individual, I think that God wants us to begin to relax in his presence and to relax in our conversations with him. How many of you know what a conversation is? Thank you. It's two people talking and listening. Oh, for the gift of listening. Oh, that God would grant me the ability to listen. How many of you know you can have somebody talking to you, but you might not be listening? I see husbands laughing. That's one of the things I tease about when I go in for my hearing exam, for the bus exam every year. They do your hearing exam as a part of it. And you go in and I said, well, my wife says I can't hear at all. Let's see if that's true. And she laughs. So, you know, after six physicals, it becomes an old joke, right? And she said, I don't think so each year, she says. I think it's just selective hearing. And I said, okay, selective hearing. But to really listen, to give your attention to where you understand what is being said, is a real gift for us as men sometimes. Women can hear, I think, quicker. I don't know why, but God has given them the ability. Maybe that's why the serpent went to her, because she was able to listen. Huh? Well, needless to say. I do think talking to God requires us also to listen to God. How do we hear him? We know we hear him through his word in the Bible. And we have this ability that God put inside of us. He put inside of our spirit being to be connected with him, that we can hear the voice of the Lord. When we hear his voice, we know which way to go. You can't always be in the middle of traffic and try to find a scripture for the particular problem. The problem might not even be in the Bible. The problem might be that old car you're driving and you're wondering how to get something done so that you can make it home safely, you know? The problem may be just as simple as a button that needs to be pushed, but you don't know that it's the button that needs to be pushed. This happened to me one day. I had a car that broke down, and I was out doing errands, and I'm 10 miles from home. And it was a rental because my car was in Ford Motor Company's shop. It was brand new, but it was having some problems, and so they gave me a loaner, and there I am in this brand new little bitty car compared to mine at the time, and it wouldn't start, wouldn't do anything. So I thought, it has to be the battery, so I raised the hood. I know a little bit. Battery cables are all new and shiny. They're all tight. Oh, man, and I got another appointment, and I just backed off, and I said, Lord, I'm learning some things about this prayer stuff. Help me out with this car. And I slid into the seat, and I'm sitting there meditating a minute, and this thought came, push the button. Push the button. So I get out, and I'm looking, and lo and behold, right up on the firewall is this little red button, and it says right across the top, in emergencies, push. Vroom! A reset. I'm like, God, you're really pretty cool. Slam the thing down, you know? I just believe that God wants us to bring not just the big things like Jim's going through in his life, not just the big things like Ernestine's going through in her life, but also the little things. A car not starting, God's concerned. He also knows about plumbing. He knows about electricity. He knows about building. He knows things I never dreamed of. We just got to take time to sit down and talk with him and then listen to him as he will speak back to our life. What encourages you to pray? What encourages you to pray? When I'm in trouble, help! What else encourages you to pray besides getting yourself in trouble? Children will design, that must be a design for them to draw you to prayer, that's for sure. How about answered prayer? When you get answers to prayer, does that encourage you to pray more? How many of you have ever had God answer a prayer for you? What did he do for you? Talk to him. And that one time that he answered, you know it was definitely he answered your prayer. What was it about? Do you mind sharing?
Sometimes I'm home and I have nothing to do. I'm lonely, and so I pray. And by the time the middle of the day comes around, I said, "Oh, you know, God answered." All of a sudden, we finally didn't even realize, but He answered.
Amen.
He gave me peace.
I put you on the spot, but I'm thankful that I did. He did. He gives you peace, and He sees you through. Answered prayer. You're praying for things and God answers. Wow, what about that? That encourages me to want to pray. In 1976, we had a program that came to Toledo, Ohio, where I was pastoring. It was called Change the World School of Prayer by Jack McAllister. Change the World School of Prayer was a 3-day seminar that you went to all day long. And back in those days, they used videos. And we didn't have all the satellite technology we have today, but In the long and short of it, the booklet and the videos all showed answers to prayer, getting the gospel out to people who were unsaved. Now imagine being in one of these cities last night, and you're saved, and there's a person there next to you who's not. Think about it. You have an opportunity to share with them. And in Change the World School of Prayer, the deal was, it isn't about so much that you get to go to every person in the world, but that by your prayers, you do. By your prayers, you're sending forth laborers into the harvest that Jesus said to pray the Lord of the harvest to do. Notice he said, pray the Lord of the harvest, and he would send. Pray the Lord of the harvest, and he would send. He didn't say that you would have to be going to all these places, but you pray the Lord of the harvest and he will send. Now sometimes you're an answer to somebody's prayer. You get sent. You get placed right in the middle of a particular situation and you're thinking, why am I here in the middle of this? I didn't ask for this. Because God knew you had in you, deposited in you exactly what is needed for that particular moment. God's going to use you. My daughter came home several times and I would tell her, she'd tell me about a friend that she got in a conversation with and they were going to have an abortion or they was going to do this or that. And she said, and Dad, before we got through, they changed their mind. You know, or something happened. I said, well, see, God used you. And she hated it. She didn't like being used, not knowing she was being used. She wanted to be able to say, okay, I'm ready to be used. You can use me this time. But I don't want to be used over here. Just don't work that way, right? God puts you where he has designed for your life and patterned for your life. And I just find that so amazing. So answers to prayer, you can be an answer to prayer. Pastor friend of mine was in Indiana. And it was a church that was having difficulties. They'd gone through 3 or 4 pastors in a couple of years. And there he was, and they were not paying their tithes and offerings. So he was literally starving, he and his wife. They were fasting, is what he called it. And they didn't have any food. It was on their second day. And he and his wife gathered early that morning, and they were praying. And they had one child, I think, at that particular time, and they were making sure that he had food, but they themselves hadn't had anything to eat. And as they prayed, they said, Lord, you know, you sent a raven to Elijah and fed him, you know where there's a raven out there, you can send one to us. And so they were praying and praying, and breakfast went by. And as they gathered around the table, fed their son, and then they prayed and thanked God for the day. Lunch came, they sat back down, thanked God for the day. And at dinner time, there was a ring at the front door. And this individual standing there was one of their members and said, I got some groceries here for you. Do you need them? He said, come on in, Crow, come on in. And we got an empty cupboard. We're just so thankful for you today. He said, well, I have to apologize. He's unloading the stuff. He had several bags of groceries and milk and all the kinds of stuff that a child would need as well. And he's loading everything in. And he says, yeah, I have to confess. The Lord told me this last night, but I wrestled around. I thought you had plenty. You know, you're a pastor. You probably got plenty. And he said, finally, I brought it. He says, well, you may have missed breakfast and lunch, but you're in time for dinner, right? Well, sometimes being used by God, he's working at two different ends. He's working on that pastor's end and his prayers. And he's working on this other guy's end and speaking to his heart about supplying the need. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, some of you today, you gave into an offering, and you may have been like me a few times. The church really need it. I mean, you know, we wrestle with things, with what we owe and what we're not, and God's speaking to us to give. Perhaps he's speaking an exact figure to give that's not our tithe and offering. It's more than our tithe and offerings are normally. God's about to use you for blessing you and blessing someone else as well. Do I have to pray loud? Hallelujah! Do I have to do all of those praise words in my prayers? Do you imagine Jesus when he's teaching his disciples on how to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven. No, I don't think that was it at all. I think it was a normal conversation, right? But now let me go back and say this. I don't think that loudness makes God nervous. Amen? So that if you're feeling excited at a football game, or there's a bad call on the field, hey, ref, you got any eyes? Are they in the back of your head or what? Don't we get excited at games? I mean, even at the TV set, they can't hear us. My son-in-law, if the Redskins are losing, I know where he's at. Because I've been in his living room for some games. When they get down, he's back out in his patio walking back and forth and just calling that coach every name in the world. He's not a Christian, so you know some of them are not very idyllic names. But I tell you what, he is excited about Redskins football. Whenever Jesus gets in his life, he's going to be an excited Christian, I can tell you that. When you got an excited Christian, don't we say hallelujah every once in a while? With feeling? Amen. When the preacher preaches something good, don't we say amen with some feeling? Right on. I had some rappers at our church one day, and a guy said, word them up, word them up. I'm like, okay. Manifestations of God's Holy Spirit causes us to want to pray. When we have dangers that come, causes us to want to pray. Pat Robertson in his lifetime has prayed a number of storms out, but this one particular time, it's been several years ago now, the storm was a hurricane strength coming in, hurricane somewhere around 3 or 4, and it was going to devastate all of the Virginia Beach area. And he, on his program with Henry Harrison, he said, we're going down and we're going to rebuke this storm right after the show today on 700 Club. And we want you to agree with us in prayer that that storm is going to be turned out to the sea. And of course, because it was on TV, everybody made fun of, who is he praying against the hurricane? He better be getting to higher ground. That's what he better be getting to doing, right? I mean, that's why they got the emergency exit routes out of Virginia Beach. Hello? Is because of these storms that come in. And so, there he goes. He's down at the beach. He rebukes the storm, and it goes out to the sea. Does that encourage you to pray? Tornado, did you hear the horn? Better take cover. Does that encourage you to pray? I believe some of the storms happen worse because people run in fear to the basement rather than to their knees. A friend of mine at Lake Erie, he lived there in LaSalle, Michigan, and there was a tornado coming right up through the lake. And when a lake tornado comes in, it's a huge amount of water funnel. And it's about a half mile wide coming right up Lake Erie, headed right toward Erie and LaSalle, which are two little suburbs there north of Detroit. And as it was coming, he had just gotten saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't know any difference. The horn's going off. Everybody's running to the shelters that are beneath the civic place where they had their court and all that kind of stuff. And everybody's running down through there to get to that place to take cover. He's headed the opposite way. He's going out to the wharf. He's going out in the middle of the lake, and he's rebuking this storm. And it stopped, and it disappeared. And I look at that, and I think, he just had this relationship that God was giving him direction of what to do. And he saved the whole town. Now, how many of you ever looked back on something in your life and you knew God saved you from something that would have happened to you if it hadn't been for 1 minute, 1 second or two, more than once? We wouldn't be here today, a lot of us. Undoubtedly. But because we have people that are also praying for us, things begin to manifest and happen to us. Wouldn't these things just happen? Isn't it just a coincidence? What I found funny is that when I'm not praying, I don't have nearly as many of these coincidences happen as when I'm praying. I got to calling them God incidences. You can have this new word for your vocabulary. It's a God incident. That's when I pray, and then something happens that would not have happened otherwise. Let's pause a minute, and let's pray this prayer together. Just close your eyes. Jesus taught his disciples. Let's let him teach us today. You ready? Together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Holy Spirit has anchored around this thought of God wants you to just come into him. Just come into his presence and let him touch your life in these times that we call prayer times. And this morning, we're encouraged in Scripture, come boldly to the throne of grace, where you'll find help in your time of need. Won't you come? Won't you come to Jesus? Let him hear your heart this morning. Some of us have relation and loved ones, but by the grace of God, the shooting could have happened in their city, and they may not be ready to meet Christ. You may have family members like I do who are not at the point of hearing from God like they should. At one time, they were following Christ closely and have allowed things to come in their life that is distracting. There are others that have not come to that saving grace. They have not come to a knowledge of the Lord as Savior. And we want to pray for them right now. If you have unsaved loved ones, I want to give you this opportunity. I want you to see you bringing them to the Lord. Just raise your hand. You have unsaved loved ones here this morning. Loved ones that do not know Christ, just raise your hand. And I'm not looking, just want you to get this context. I'm raising my hand to you, Father. I have these, or this one that's on my heart this morning. You ready? Let's just bring them to Jesus. You ready? Repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, only you can save. It is through faith in you, Lord, in your name, where men and women are saved. I bring them to you. Holy Spirit, do the office work in their hearts. Call their name out right now, whoever it is. Lord, do the office work in their heart. I agree with them as they call their names out in Jesus' name and draw them to the Father. Thank you for a completed, finished work in their lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've been praying about a particular financial need in your life, Father, He knows. It seems like quite often we have all kinds of ministry that talks about here's how to get blessings from God and here's how to get blessings. The basics of living with God is just communication. It is the basis of life, and it is the basis of our spiritual life as well. God speaks. We listen and we live. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our lives are not consisting because we've had a good breakfast this morning, which many of you did, but it's consisting because God is breathing life into us. And His word is issued forth, and it resounds through this temple. His word resounds through our lives. And the beauty of it is the word for you could be entirely different for me, but it's a word of God nonetheless, and it's resounding in you. Finances are one of those things that are tough sometimes. We try to do it in our own strength. We go to the bank. We go to loan officers. We borrow from our moms and dads. We do a lot of things to get past the moment. But the Lord wants to take you on this journey where you're not living from miracle to miracle on these financial mountains sometimes, but to be able to know Him in the valley. And when it's not happening, where you've been declined, when you didn't get the credit card, when you didn't get the loan, then what's up? God didn't change His mind. He still wants to bless your life. If that's you today and you're in a tight spot right now, I just want to bless you in the name of Jesus to know Him. Oh, the words about His names. He's the lily of the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because He's with me. He's the same good shepherd that led me into the green pastures and beside the still waters. He didn't change. And He's not changing for you today. Those needs are going to be met. But they're met in a way that will bring about your faith growing in beauty. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good journey for you. Amen. Physical needs with the body and healing. If you're needing healing here today, just lift your hand just before the Lord. I'm going to lead you in a little prayer. You ready? You sent forth your word, Lord. Just repeat this with me. You sent forth your word, Lord, and you healed me, and you deliver me from all destructions. You have given your angels charge over me. They keep me in their hands. I won't even bruise my foot. Plagues can't come near me. Destruction can't come near my home. I trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I so love the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. the presence of the Holy Spirit interceding for us. You know, the Apostle Paul caught this revelation, so that when I don't know how to pray, we come to that place where the Lord's Prayer just seems to be words. And Paul said, when I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes in me. When I'm just groaning, when I don't have when I don't have a language, when I have this inarticulate way of trying to communicate with my God, the Holy Spirit will groan through me His perfect will. That's one of the beauties of praying in the Spirit, is praying His will. And we don't even know what we're praying. And the Holy Spirit breathes upon some of us here this morning that knowledge that answered prayer is happening right now for you in Jesus' name. James encourages us in our prayers. You have not because you ask not. Then when you ask because of what you see or because of what you want, rather knowing that God knows what you need and want even before you ask. But then He says, go ahead, ask. I'd love for you to ask. Don't ask little, ask big. He's a big God. Sometimes we get too attached to what we're seeing down here. This is not our home. And the more you talk to Him, the more you're going to realize it's going to be a much better time when we get to heaven. Amen. Amen. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, but the Holy Spirit is revealing it to us that believe today. Father, I bless these precious ones that You have brought here this morning in the name of Jesus. And I thank You that You're meeting needs. You are touching our loved ones. We're going to hear about salvation. We're going to hear about deliverance. We're going to hear about Your overcoming power in some of their lives. And we are so grateful today already. We give You praise even before it happens, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for meeting financial needs. Thank You for touching physical bodies. Thank You for right now relieving stress and worry and anxiety from those emotional realms and bodies. For we cast all of our cares upon You because You care for us. In Jesus' name, we bless Your people today. Amen. One of the most beautiful benedictions was given to Aaron to pray over the people of Israel every time that they would gather, and it was that the Lord bless you and cause His face to shine upon you. All of those, all that part of that blessing is so powerful of how God wants to do for His kids and His people. He wants you to know, I'm not mad at you. I'm not frowning at you. I'm smiling at you. My favor, my countenance is turned towards you, just like my dad was when he'd get up out of that big easy chair and I'd come in and say, hey, Dad, I'm home. What we got to eat? He wasn't put out. He was ready. He wasn't mad. If my earthly father does that, I can only imagine how my heavenly Father is so excited to see me come. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? Are you blessed? Amen. Does God hear you when you pray?
Yes.
Does He hear them all? Amen. Amen. We won't have time to get into the things about answered prayer and things of that nature today, but every one of you have a testimony about answered prayer. And you know what really thrills the Father? Hearing you talk about Him with someone else. My dad used to tell me, well, I really enjoyed you talking with James. I said, really? Yeah, talking about when you were kids. I said, really? Yeah. He said, brought back the memories to me of how much fun we had. Our Father loves to hear us talk about the things that we're doing in His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Jim, is there any closing word?
Well, I appreciate you.